there's a story that is told in Ojibwe communities from central Minnesota to up in Whitefish Bay, Ontario, about a little girl who's very sick. Her father, her family is fearing the worst. The story is told a little bit differently in central Minnesota from up in North Ontario, but the little girl hears the jingle. Her father takes her out to a ceremonial dance. She hears the jingles, and by the end of the evening, she has recovered her health. So her father had this vision of a dress and a dance. And so that's when the jingle dress first happened. It was an innovation. It was something new. And I had heard this story over the years. I'm from Red Lake, so it's often repeated at powwows. I've heard this story over the years. And I had been doing some research. I'm a historian who teaches at the University of Minnesota. I'd been thinking about the big influenza of 1918-19 ever since my early work on Native people and government boarding schools, because it was very devastating to people who were in boarding schools at the time. And I'd read all these boarding school stories, and I'd read documents, and I just found all these really interesting historical documents about the impact of the influenza of 1918-19 in Ojibwe communities, as well as other American Indian communities. And it's interesting that today we're seeing this terrible problem in the Southwest, especially on the Navajo Nation. The influenza, which was a global pandemic, was virulent in even the most isolated Native communities of the United States and Canada. But it wasn't until I was sitting at a powwow hearing this story again at Red Lake, and it just kind of struck me that that story was very much about an influenza-like illness. And so I went out and tried to find, I thought, what is the history of the jingle dress dance? My grandmother at Red Lake would have been a girl during the time of the flu epidemic of 1918-19, was a jingle dress dancer and remained a jingle dress dancer for the rest of her life. But I was thinking, what is this history? So I started to try to find photograph collections in the U.S. and Canada, and I realized I could not find a single photograph of what you would call a jingle dress before circa 1920 in photograph collections. So I sort of put the story of the jingle dress with the history of the influenza and photographs together, and I realized that this new healing tradition came out of the first major global pandemic in world history. The jingle dress spread almost immediately to our Dakota neighbors, and it's been a regional tradition of Ojibwe and Dakota people of this area, the Great Lakes, and over into North Dakota for decades. But it took a long time for the jingle dress to become a pan-Indian sort of innovation. If the museums ever open up again, we have an exhibit about the history of the jingle dress dance tradition at the Mille Lacs Museum in Onamia. It's slated to be there through this coming museum season through October. So hopefully the jingle dress exhibit will be seen again if we get a break in the pandemic at all this summer. What we tried to do with that exhibit is to kind of trace the history of the jingle dress in Ojibwe communities here in Minnesota using historic dresses from the Minnesota Historical Society. And what we see with that exhibit is that there's a lot of change and innovation in the jingle dress, that in the 1920s, that dresses were somewhat simple shift dresses, often kind of beautiful. There's one that we have that's maybe my favorite, kind of a black velvet shift, very slim, and it has a few rows of jingles, but it's not elaborately full of jingles. And that first decade, some of the dresses resembled flapper dresses of the 1920s, and then they kind of evolve from there. We have in that exhibit dresses from White Earth, from Boys Fort, from Leech Lake. So we've tried to show its innovation over the decades in tribal communities of Minnesota. We also have a Dakota skirt in the exhibit that's pretty old. It's made of, we think, drapery fabric. So when I was a little girl, my grandmother was a jingle dress dancer. It almost seemed like the tradition was practiced primarily by older women when I was a girl. And then something happened in the 1980s that it spread beyond Ojibwe and Dakota country and became a very pan-Indian sort of thing. This may have been simply due to the expansion of the powwow circuit in the 1980s and 90s, but it spread and it has become kind of a new thing now in other areas of Indian country.
Do you still dance?
I used to dance at powwows when I was a girl growing up. This is one of the stories that I sort of tell because when I was a kid in the 1970s, we were really into buckskin and fringe. And that's the time when maybe young girls like me, I wasn't interested so much in becoming a jingle dress dancer like my grandmother. We had our own, you know, ideas, I think, at the time. And it kind of makes me laugh because jingle dress dancing kind of skipped a couple of generations in my family. My mother wasn't a jingle dress dancer. I wasn't either. But my daughter is, who's a freshman at the University of Minnesota. I have a colleague, Chris Easton, who works for Google, and at the time my book came out called My Grandfather's Knocking Sticks, where I have a chapter about healing, which is what the jingle dress dance is all about. He was very interested in the story, and he thought the jingle dress dance would make a great doodle. And so we talked about this for a couple of years, and it finally happened last summer, and he sent me an email message, and he said, make sure you check out your Google. So I was very excited about it, that it finally happened. And on that day, I was sort of imagining that this little regional tradition that came out of the Ojibwe communities of the Great Lakes is now kind of famous even for a day across all of the United States and Canada. We were in Europe in January, and I gave talks about the jingle dress in Sweden, said, oh yes, we saw the doodle as well. So that was the day when I was really thinking about this little tradition that I learned about growing up from my grandmother at Red Lake had spread to the extent it has across the United States and Canada.